We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network. Joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. I always forget this. When was your first year here?
2016.
So you must think we're crazy, like, to talk about Memphis basketball the way we do, considering that you've never really seen it be,
Yes, and I mean, one of the main reasons that I took the job in Memphis, and it's funny because I now work for the NBA team, which would be the leading sell factor for many people. But I was so thirsty for a really dedicated college town, and it was a bonus that there was a professional team here in the Grizzlies. And so I grew up, you know, going to Final Fours and being around college basketball so much. My dad was on the selection committee back in the day. I was at the Memphis Final Four that we don't speak of, and saw just like how much this community loved basketball. And at the time, Tubby had just been hired. And so I was like, sweet, they're going to be on the up and up. And so I came really under the intention of like, okay, cool, maybe Memphis football will make some moves and maybe this Mike Norvell guy will work out. But Tubby Smith is going to bring Memphis basketball back. And then a couple years in, my contract was on the way up at my first job here at Local 24. And the thing that kept me in Memphis was Penny Hardaway getting hired by the University of Memphis. And I was like, I cannot miss the resurgence of Memphis basketball. Like, I would have major FOMO. And here we are sitting here talking about where it's at today.
I often kind of wonder, like, am I chasing a ghost? Because, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the open there, and it's totally fine if you didn't. But like, I talked about the history of Memphis and how from 73 to 09, Memphis was getting to the Sweet 16 on average every 3.2 years, which is like, I would do, you know, as a Memphian, unspeakable things to right. ever get back to that kind of pace. But I just, then you think about the years since. You think about the years since 2009, and they've all been, in one way or the other, underwhelming, you know, comparatively speaking. So is it possible that I'm chasing a day gone by and that Memphis can't get back to that historical pace, you know, like a Georgetown, right? Like, Georgetown hasn't been relevant whatsoever. They're paying Ed Cooley a lot of money. We'll see. But they haven't been to an Elite Eight since 2007. Am I chasing ghosts here, or do you think there's still reason to believe that Memphis can be one of those elite programs still in 2024?
I think you have to move forward under the belief that they still can be, right? Like, if you're not hopeful for that, it's very difficult for a program, for a fan base, for just human beings in general to get a taste of consistent success, or just frankly of being a part of the yearly conversation when it comes to, oh, this is a school that when I think of men's basketball, I'm going to think of the Memphis Tigers. Maybe not first, maybe not 1 through 10, but they're at least going to be in the mix. And if you don't have that, something has gone very wrong. I will say, at least we're in the position where you're still thinking about it from a standpoint of hoping to get back to that, as opposed to the apathy of what you're suggesting of just giving up on the olden days and calling them what they are, and you're never going to get back to that. Because once you get apathetic, once people stop caring, that's when you're really in trouble. So you're at least still in a position right now where this city wants to have a team to root for, and this city would like for that team to be led by Penny Hardaway, who means so much to the city of Memphis. And if, you know, that can all come together and lead the Memphis Tigers back into a position where they are yearly at the bare minimum making it to the NCAA tournament, I think that's what everyone's hoping for, and now the jury's out if you can get there realistically.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, last night, sort of the comments and the quotes from Penny, like, passion is what makes these programs what they are, right? Like,
yes.
I can't think of a program that's ever been successful, certainly in college basketball, where the fans weren't considered crazy as hell. I don't think there's a single one. I don't think there's a single long-term, historical, successful basketball program where the fans aren't called crazy or, you know, that's what you have to have, you know, because when that exists, things are possible. You're going to have resources. You're going to have investment. You're going to have community involvement. You know, those things are going to be present. And it's when those things, like, in a weird backwards way, Penny should be grateful, and any coach should be grateful that there are people who are saying he should be fired, because that means that there are people out there who care to that degree. And when it stops, when that stops, that is when the drip kind of stops. And I don't want to see the other side of that, because it can get ugly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, that's where, when you look at, you know, from the stereotypical quote unquote like blue bloods, like a Duke, a Kansas, a Kentucky, a North Carolina, but even other programs like Indiana and Arizona and Villanova, Michigan State, like those teams care when their team is underperforming. There is a certain level of pressure, and fair or unfair, that pressure usually starts with the coach. That is the person who is orchestrating the construction of a team and then the game-to-game decisions and game planning and whatnot. And so Penny now sits in this position where, and it has to be hard, right? Like, I hate these conversations around Penny Hardaway, because it is a unique situation in Memphis of somebody who has given so much to the city, has meant so much to the city, comes out, does what he does at the middle school level, at the high school level, out at East, and then takes over this program to really insert energy back into what was getting to the drip that you just mentioned. And now you're sitting in the city that has always loved you so much, and there are some very critical voices around it and coming right at you. I can't imagine what it's like to have to navigate the actual emotions of that, because we're talking about real people with real feelings. And I think it's hard, and you're seeing somebody who's having to react to that publicly, and I think it's probably pretty damn frustrating.
Yeah, and look, I think it's less difficult because we know he's not going to be fired, and he should be fired, frankly. Like,
no.
Your equity matters, okay? That's the way it works. Your equity with a university and with a place has to matter. This is true in society. You ain't got to like it, but it's true. You know, depending on your value to a place, you know, you might get pulled over, and you might, you know, have to do 24 hours for a DUI. But it, you know, if one of you has less value than the other, one guy might still have a job the next day, and one guy might not. Right? That's just the way that this stuff works in the world. People play by different rules. But even beyond that, you don't fire somebody after one bad season. Yeah, it was a disappointment. Yeah, it didn't. You know, we'll see what happens this week in Fort Worth. I just what I worry about, Jessica, is I worry that he really seems to feel like this is good enough, that fans should be okay with this.
Do you really think that, or do you think he's just coming from a point of like, what else do you say? I understand, because when I even answer my question myself, like, what else do you say? You
right.
say this isn't good enough, and we shouldn't be in a position where we're in fifth in a, by all means, not good AAC. This is a year that we should have grabbed by the reins and dominated and yada, yada, yada. Like, we've long addressed how this team has gotten to the point where they have to win four games in 4 days at the AAC tournament to make the NCAA tournament. But perhaps it's just sometimes you're too close to it, and maybe it'll take, once the season ends, to come back out and regroup and put the focus on next year. Because you're completely right. No one gets fired for 1 year. And as we talk about, even from the standpoint of the Grizzlies, like, progress is not always linear, right? So you take this as you turn this into the outlier of the year, and you come back next year and you make all of these conversations we're having right now absolute mush. That's where Penny's attention needs to go
right
next.
It's like, it's just like, imagine, Because the point I made, like, at the beginning of the show, and again, I'm a Memphian, born and raised Memphian. Like, I want nothing more than for this thing that we look up in 2 years and Penny's in the Sweet 16 and it's rolling and all of that. But it'd be like, you know, imagine if, you know, Matt Leinart someday took the USC football job, right? And they were 7-5 every year, and, you know, they weren't going to the expanded playoff, and, you know, Matt Leinart was saying things like, well, it's hard to get players here at USC, and, you know, I'm like, that's kind of like, that's where I'm at with Penny right now. It's like, come on, you cannot possibly believe that. Like, you played. Like, would Penny Hardaway, the player, be saying, you know, if he was sitting on the sidelines watching Tubby put up the exact same on-court results, would you be saying that Tubby raised the standard? Would you be saying that Tubby is doing a great job? The answer is not no. The answer is hell no.
Right. Like, I don't believe this is Scott Frost at Nebraska, not to, like, jump across sports again, but somebody who played and then goes and coaches and it's, you know, doesn't go well and they have to end it very quickly. For Penny, I mean, I think, too, it comes down to, and this goes back to the fan support and fans caring, as the sport and as college sports transition into more and more focus on NIL, you have to have people who care enough to donate to collectives. And I get it. It's hard. Coaches are having to deal with this in all the sports across the country outside of just right here in Memphis. But you do have to still believe, I still believe, I should say, in the pull of coming to play for Penny Hardaway and the ultimate goal of, hey, am I going to go to a program that puts me in a position where I can ultimately be best situated to make my next jump to the NBA? The problem is in the interim, you want that next jump to the NBA to include making a significant run at a team in the NCAA tournament. So yeah. It all factors in.
Hopefully it happens. And obviously this year is what it is at this point. But, you know, what I don't have a lot of patience for is just, you know, excuses. You know, it's a bottom line business just like everything else. And everybody has to deal with the same things, right, Jessica? Everybody had to deal with COVID. Everybody has to deal with the NIL. Everybody has to deal with the portal. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to crown a champ this year. I'm pretty sure we crowned a champ in the COVID year, if I'm not – I mean, we had a tournament, didn't we? That's the thing is, like, these are not problems that are exclusive to one school. The best figure out a way to navigate, right? I mean, that's just the way it is in this world. And I'm not saying it's easy. I saw the Rick Pitino interview, you know, with Pardon My Take the other day, which we'll get to later. But, you know, it is your job and it is your function. And honestly, Penny should be the guy that can navigate that better than anybody else because he played it at an iconic level, right? I mean, who else would be better equipped to do that?
And somebody who understands from a player's perspective, like truly being a player's coach, because you know. And that's where you hope that eventually this gets harnessed into using it as a positive, where you're a step up on other coaches who might not get it, who might be behind the eight ball, who might be dragging their feet when it comes to the evolution of where we're sitting in college athletics in its totality. And you just hope Penny continues to play from, you know, a point of power where he can relate in a way that other guys cannot. But right now you're right. Like, all you can do is sit here and stare ahead at an AAC tournament and you start, you know, going through the bargaining of it all. And you're like, well, I guess if we have to be fifth, we'll be favored in every game until a championship game if you get there. And that's just a really disappointing place to be, where you're having those conversations with yourself, considering this was a top 10 team. And the expectation was, oh, not just to get to the NCAA tournament. Like, no, this is a second year or a second weekend kind of year. And now, like, will you even get there to begin with?
Yeah, we're talking to Jessica Benson, catcher on Grind City Media as part of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt, catcher on the Grizz Radio Network here on 92.9. Are you good to go? Or are you a full go for tonight?
Do I have to be?
Yeah. And it's amazing. Yeah. It's like, speaking of disappointments, the Wizards are favored tonight. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Oh, dear God. Yeah. No, it's, I was talking about it on my show this morning. It's funny. I've really tried to approach the last month or so. I saw this little video on TikTok, surprise, surprise, but it was about adjusting your attitude every day instead of saying, like, oh, I have to do this, to saying, I get to do this. Like, I'm so lucky. I get to wake up in the morning. I get to have enough money to buy groceries to feed myself. I get to work out, whatever, the hoity-toity stuff. I'm really having trouble diving into the I get to go watch Grizzlies Wizards tonight at FedEx Forum. It is always a blessing to work in the NBA, to work in sports. It is fun. It is wonderful. It is enviable, all of that. But this game could be the bottom of the bottom, which is interesting to say considering 2 weekends ago we watched the Grizzlies lose to the Trailblazers twice in a row, which really felt like the cratering of the season. But now to have the Wizards tonight, the Hornets tomorrow, of course, that being the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow, you would hope that Jaren Jackson Jr., Vince Williams, perhaps are back for that action tomorrow night. But in the meantime tonight, we'll see who is able to go out there and welcome Tyus Jones back. You know, give Tyus
That's
Jones
right.
a nice welcome back to Memphis.
That's right. I loved Tyus. He was for many months. He was my cause, my cleats. Just trying to get him paid and keep him here. So it'll be nice. But I think that's the thing about this Grizzly season that I've said before. You know, you just really can't script it any better in terms of, you know, the political, basically tolerance of the fan base. I mean, I've compared it before, but it really is. It's that Warriors year where they finished second, where, you know, it was a pothole in the timeline, but everybody was cool with it because they knew the score. They knew that it wasn't like this is just a gross mismanagement of a roster. I mean, it was injury related. And
right, you don't have fans like Pistons fans getting into expletive fights with a GM.
I mean, that's what the Wizards are going through, right? The Wizards are 11-53 for no reason.
Right, and where's your future, Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma? Okay,
gross.
Have fun with that.
Yes.
But that's where you can every night, and it's been really, for lack of a better word, heartwarming. Like, the fans have still come out at FedEx Forum for these games. The fans are desperate for a win, right? Like, the lack of home wins, just 7 on the season, has been an added, unexpected storyline in the struggles of this year, considering how good this team was at home last season. Like, the fans are in the building, and we'll see how many are in the building tonight. It is Hoops for St. Jude night, so it's an extra reason to get out and go and support the Grizzlies tonight, but the Wizards have nothing to look forward to. The Grizzlies have everything to look forward to, and therein lies the difference when you're able to big brain, like, look outward of just this one simple game between the second worst team in the NBA and the sixth worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, it should be at the very least a spectacle tonight.
A spectacle.
Yeah, it's just one of it's like, I mean, when these two forces get together. It's like the Trailblazers game. It was like, and then one of those games with the overtime. Like, you know, it's history.
Oh, don't say that word.
It's history.
Don't even put that word in the existence.
Oh, this is going to overtime. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, it's the universe. It's the way. But again, it's like, you know, there is a slow death, but from that death, perhaps, you know, comes a phoenix rise from the ashes.
Beautiful.
Depending on what draft pick the Grizzlies get and depending on what they decide to do with it. Are you partial to the decision? Does it matter to you if it's 3 or 6 or, you know, what, like, does it change, I suppose, the strategy depending on what the pick is?
Right. And I always, like, just by human nature, my draft approach has always been pick the best player available, which can get tricky, but considering what the Grizzlies' such obvious need is in having a front court partner to Jaren Jackson Jr. and what that starting lineup looks like next year. But this is also the time of year where I can start getting a little bit more excited about players because suddenly I'm watching more Kentucky basketball and I'm watching Reed Sheppard play. And I'm like, ooh, Reed Sheppard, he's nice. Or I'm watching, Stephon Castle at UConn or Dalton Kinect at Tennessee. And you start just kind of convincing yourself various puzzle piece fitting with the Grizzlies. So I am not married at this point one way or the other of what the Grizzlies do. Obviously, that draft pick is their best asset available, especially depending where it ends up falling for the Grizzlies after the draft lottery. But this is really the time of year where I can start diving into evaluating some of those draft picks on a deeper level, a deeper, more spiritual level, if you will.
Yes. And then I had to ask you this because I saw your TikTok about your lovely grandfather, who is no longer with us, but he's been gone for a while.
15 years.
Yeah, he's been gone for 15 years. But you lied about him when he died. You made up some things. And again, Grandpa, thank you for the laughs. But why do you think you did that? Like, as you diagnose, you know, why you wrote "Thanks for the Laughs," despite you saying your grandpa was not even a funny man. Why do you think you did that?
So what I really wrote, and for those of you who do not follow JB Jams on TikTok, this came about because I use that time hop app that shows you what you posted on social media however many years ago today. And so 15 years ago yesterday was the anniversary of my grandpa's passing. And I was a junior in high school, 2009. And, you know, when someone died, you would go on Facebook and alert all your friends, hey, someone important to me died. And so my Facebook status was RIP Grandpa, you never failed to make me laugh. And like you just alluded to, like, my grandpa wasn't a comedian. I don't know why I felt the need to memorialize my grandpa Bob as this, like, funny guy, as the funny grandpa. And it's just not true. And why would I go on Facebook as a little, I don't know, 16-year-old, 17-year-old at the time, and feel the need to inaccurately portray my grandpa, who was a pretty tough dude. Like, he was a football coach through and through. And I don't think laughter was the greatest thing he gave me. But we do weird things on social media. Luckily, as I've evolved, I'm more truthful on social media than perhaps I was in high school. We did some weird things, you know?
You could have just said something like, you know, he was a football genius. You know, like, you could have.
Yeah, I could have. I could have. You know what? And he would have appreciated that much
Absolutely.
More because I don't think he would have wanted to be known as
that's
funny.
Good.
He's like, what do you mean funny? I had an eye for quarterbacks. You know, that was my
that's
thing.
Right. That's so, right. If anything ever happens to me, I look forward to looking down or up, depending on what happens, and seeing you post, you know, rest in peace to John. He was always deathly serious. He was a very serious man, and he'll be missed.
He was a staunch supporter of women's sports.
Well, that's true, though. That you, I do. I just have a little. I take issue with certain aspects of it, but I support women. Love right. women. Okay, love all
well,
women.
I'm sure my grandpa made me laugh a couple of times.
Yeah, but I think you said. I think you said I'll miss all the laughs or something. Like it was.
No, I said you never failed to. Make
oh yeah,
me
yeah,
laugh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
Like, every time we were together, he was just. I was in stitches laughing over my funny little grandpa. Not prepared.
That's
not
good. Hey, we make people saints in death. I think that's kind of just the natural thing, right? And but I would have just.
It?
I would have just gone with, you know, thanks for everything you taught me about football. You know what I'm saying? But, hey.
I should have just said thanks for the memories.
It's your grandpa, you know. RIP, Grandpa. Jessica, thanks for the time, as always.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep, she is Jessica Bye. Benson. Catch her on Grind City Media and the Grizz Radio Network. I do think, Brad, while we're on the subject of the posthumous thing, I do think there is a human tendency to make people better people. Not that Jessica's grandpa wasn't a good person, but like we tend to romanticize the human being
yep.
in death.
There's a 100%
right?
chance that what we do, generally our instincts are to be more positive than negative.
Yes.
Like,
right.
I.
That guy was a huge dick.
Well,
he won't be missed.
I don't want to say him on the air because I think the rule is you're not supposed to say things publicly if you think that they're negative, especially in death. Some
right.
people say it's too soon.
Right.
I've never
right.
subscribed to the too soon thing sometimes. Like, I think people. Not that death shouldn't be a serious thing, because it is. People get cancer. People get,
yes.
like, there are tragic, like, there was a,
there are.
Like, for example, and I don't mean, I bring this up because we have a lot of listeners that are in the baseball community. There's a kid from Marshall County who died tragically in a car wreck last night. There is nowhere to go from that. That's a teenager. That's a tragedy.
Right, right.
But when celebrities die.
Yes.
We do this thing that's sort of weird.
There's less rules. There's no doubt about it, right? Less hard and fast rules about how we talk about celebrity
yes.
deaths.
Yes,
and I think also age is another part of that, too. Like, the older you are,
right,
the less,
right.
you know, pure sadness.
Yes.
I think, you know, like, I mean, it's different when, like, you know, a grandparent passes versus, like, a cousin or something
yes.
along those lines. You know what I'm saying?
Can I give you an example of one that I was twisted on, and I'll be real honest with you. I think Kobe Bryant has been, like, a lot of his shortcomings, people just absolutely, they are no longer, you know, like, you never hear about his.
Right.
What, and there is some real precarious stuff there, man.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. We do tend to, you know. Again,
what about Colorado? You know what I'm saying? Like, there was some wild stuff.
Right.
That is, like, almost expunged, you know?
There are definitely, look. It's a complicated thing.
It's tough.
It's a nuanced thing because we do tend to lionize certain celebrities.
Yes.
And it's like, what is the right way, right? What is the appropriate dosage of, okay, I'm going to devote this amount of how I think about Kobe to this.
Right.
versus who he was as an athlete, who he was as a father, who he was as this, that, and the other. And I didn't know Kobe. You didn't know Kobe.
No,
didn't know Kobe.
I have no idea. Right.
All we knew was the man that wore the jersey, right?
That's right.
And it felt like we were kind of getting to know him in a different way with his movies and everything like that and some stuff that he was doing. But, yeah, no, I do think that is something that, you know, it's the courteous thing to do,
mm-hmm.
right? If someone passes, you say nice things about them.
Yes.
You know, publicly.
Publicly. Yes, you do.
Privately, you think, you know, maybe whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never really...
Well, maybe it's because we don't bring the negatives to light in death. We just hear the positives, and that's why it just is that way.
Yeah, and like we tend to sort of, again, maybe, you know, have the hyperbole and exaggerate a little bit, like about how... funny this person was, or how great this person was.
100%.
And you know what? That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
They're dead. I mean, they're dead.
Well, I'll say this. When I die, I do hope people who hated me, you know, I'll give you clearance. Y'all can be haters still. And if you liked some things, man, give me some props. You know?
No, look, at the end of the day, I'm dead. So I don't really care what people say.
I don't care.
So, yeah, they can say whatever they want.
Yeah, for real.
And they will, and that's fine.
You'll have a legacy, John.
But I'll have something.
Yeah.
I'll have something, no doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Brevin Knight going to join us at 125. Talk to him about the Grizzlies, the NBA, and more. Jason and John, Audio Trend FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.